US Democrat Barack Obama has made history by scoring a clear victory over his Republican opponent John McCain to become America's first black president. Age 47 and the son of a Kenyan father and a white mother from Kansas, Obama will be sworn in as the nation's 44th president on January the 20th. In his victory speech, Obama said he would work to ease the country's sharp political divisions and listen to those who voted against him. Reactions to Obama's groundbreaking victory have come from leaders around the globe. The Vatican said on Wednesday that it hoped the US president-elect will work to promote peace and justice in the world. Spokesman Father Federico Lombardi said, "All of us are hoping that Obama will be able to meet the expectations and hopes directed at him, that he will work for the cause of rights and justice, find suitable ways to promote peace in the world, foster people's development and dignity while respecting human and spiritual values. The faithful are praying," he added, "so that God may enlighten him and give him a hand in his huge responsibility, so that he will govern well." But let's cross back to the United States itself to get some feedback to the election's outcome. Many commentators are describing Obama's victory as a new dawn or a turning point in that nation's history. So what's the reaction of the Catholic Church there? And what will Obama's historic win mean for the US and the wider international community? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Bishop William Murphy of Rockville Center, New York, who heads the Church's Committee on Justice, Peace, and Human Development.
Well, it's very clear that for the whole nation, this is an historic moment, and that's reflected in the remarks that everyone has made. It certainly brings to a close, in a public and very important way, the whole long history of racism on official levels in this country. There does, however, remain another issue, which is it remains to be seen how this will affect those groups of Afro-Americans who continue to be in difficult circumstances, and that raises the issue of poverty. So we continue to have the specter of poverty in certain parts of our country, and that disproportionately affects Afro-Americans. But we cannot take away from the fact that this is an historic moment in the history of our nation.
Obama's victory in these elections has been, by a very large majority of the rest of the world, been welcomed. What do you think are President-elect Obama's greatest strengths, the strengths that helped to propel him to this historic victory?
My sense is that, first and foremost, he's a very intelligent man. We've met only once, but we had a good conversation. He's a very attractive candidate. He's very well-spoken. He has the ability to move a group with his vision. He has a kind of personality that reassures people beyond the particular issue. And that gives him a certain advantage, I believe. And I do believe that, quite frankly, in many ways, this nation is tired and wants a fresh voice and a fresh face. And I think he represented very much that.
So what does Obama's victory mean for the U.S. and also for the wider international community, in your view?
It strikes me that it means a new direction, obviously, both domestically and on the international front. It means an end to the Bush administration, which had become an unpopular administration, both at home and abroad. It remains to be seen how this new president will be able to harness the energies of people into a policy that will unite the country domestically, and which will set a tone and a direction for international discussions and international questions.
Now, of course, the greatest challenge facing the new president-elect is the global financial crisis. What message would the Church give to President-elect Obama on this issue?
Well, I think that, first of all, this is one of the most pressing, and it is the one that right now garners our attention. I don't think that we need or we should be measuring the most important issues by what the media announces to be today's problem. I would say that, obviously, he's going to have to address these issues of the economy. I believe, frankly, that the administration, the current administration, has addressed them in a way that has had a real coherence to it. And I believe that it's doing so in a way that should move us beyond the lack of confidence that Wall Street speculators have been showing. I think Mr. Obama is going to have to reassure the public by the kinds of persons whom he chooses to be around him, because I don't think anyone would say that he has a full-fledged economic plan. And that's going to be something that the church will be watching very, very closely. One of the things we as church would be saying in this issue, as in a number of other issues, which quite frankly are as important or even more important, is how will Mr. Obama be a uniter of our society and a unifying voice for the good not only of this nation, but also of the international community of nations.
Right, we focused there on the global financial crisis, but as you rightly said, there are many other urgent priorities, particularly as far as the church sees things. Would you list some of these other ones that you really would like Obama to tackle?
I'd be very happy to. I think that we have a major challenge in this country, which has to do with, to use the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have proclaimed as a kind of cornerstone of the United States that everyone is created equal. And yet, we have systematically and through our courts and through other means, systematically excluded a whole portion of our citizenry from sharing in that. And I'm speaking, of course, of the horror of 40 to 50 million aborted babies. This is a tremendously dark stain on the American nation and contradicts what we claim to be a people for whom liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness, which means founded on life, is given to everyone. When we exclude the unborn babies through abortion, then we are not living up to what we claim to be. Unfortunately, Mr. Obama has made it very clear that his record is very, very, not pro-choice, but pro-abortion. We as bishops will be urging him to rethink this. We will be urging him not to ignite further cultural and divisions and dividing the country further on this most important issue. So I think we're going to urge him to rethink those positions and to try to reflect the widespread feeling that abortion on demand is not a good thing in itself because it kills children, and that it's not a good thing for our country because it cuts at the very core of a good society.
During the campaign, the bishops issued their document, Faithful Citizenship, addressed to the faithful. Do you think the messages that were contained within it did get across to Catholic voters? And what feedback did the church receive to this document?
You know, that's a very good question. And I thank you for asking it because it's something that I've wrestled with during the whole campaign. We worked very hard on that document, and I believe that it was a significant step forward in the statements that the United States bishops have made before each of the presidential elections going back to 1976. Because we turned our focus on those first words, the importance that we have as teachers, the responsibility we have as teachers to form the consciences of Catholics, I believe that it had a very good and positive impact in many, many sectors of the Catholic Church. I think between 1.5 and 2 million copies of that document were distributed across the United States.
I was speaking to Bishop William Murphy of Rockville Center, New York.